The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and Baton Rouge. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Vinny Maliulo still to join us. And this gentleman right here from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, he's the host of the Wide World, the Weingarten podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing well, man. This next part of this segment is I'm going to title it the Beating the Dead Horse segment. This is from Diamond Digest. You saw this tweet. You sent me this tweet, I believe, yesterday. These are Shohei Ohtani's AL ranks with a 1.5 months left of the season, which is more than a quarter of the season, or right around a quarter. As a hitter, third in expected weighted on base, 387. Fifth in homers, 26. Ninth in OPS, 845. Top 10 in all. As a pitcher, first in Ks per 9, 12.7. Second in fielding independent at 2.48. Sixth in ERA, 2.69. Yeah, it's not an MVP, is it?
Well, he's not playing in New York, Gil. That's the problem. Yeah, he's not winning a third of his games since the All-Star break for the Yankees. So, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, there it is. Because if he's a Yankee, if he's wearing pinstripes and doing that, come on, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you know my opinion on baseball media. So,
ladies and gentlemen, this has been Beating a Dead Horse.
Yeah.
With me and Jason. All right, what did you play today?
You know, I actually played more exhibition NFL football today and tomorrow.
Let's go. What do you got? What do you got?
I got the Rams money line. Rams money line plus 115. I bet the Rams plus 3. It's down to 2.5. I also use that in the Wongs because they're a home dog, 2.5. I also use the Saints and some Wongs today. So you got the Rams and the Saints both in the Wong, you know, range today. Then tomorrow, Steelers. I bet the Steelers money line plus 150 against the Jaguars. What possible reason would you have to favor the Jacksonville Jaguars over the Pittsburgh Steelers, even in a preseason game? I'm a little confused about this. Is Trevor Lawrence expected to play the whole game something?
Well, so that's what I was going to get to. So the drill down on this is you like the quarterback battle going on in Pittsburgh.
I think I think Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback. I think the Jaguars are just a terrible organization top to bottom with a new head coach, and expecting them to all of a sudden be good and be good enough to be a favorite over the Pittsburgh Steelers week two of the preseason is little premature. I mean, the Jaguars are incompetent as incompetent can be over the last, say, 10, 15 years.
Let me go back to the Rams for a second, because you said you were doing them in a Wong teaser, but did I also catch that you played them straight?
Yeah, I bet them straight. I'm also going to the game, so gotta have some action.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to the game, so he's playing. Was there a specific reason just because you're going to the game, or was there a reason why you played?
No, I also think their backups are better than the Houston Texans backups, especially at quarterback. I don't think the Rams backup quarterbacks aren't that bad at all.
See if we can find what Trevor Lawrence's expectation is in this game, Jeff, if we could, in terms of how much he's...
I saw that money line started moving. Also, I have a third game, too, by the way. I bet the 49ers plus 180 against Minnesota. Plus 180 on the 49ers? What are we doing here?
So again, what's your reasoning for this on a preseason basis?
Their backups are just as good, if not better, than the Vikings and their new head coach. I don't understand why we're getting such big dog prices on some of these teams.
So it's just it's sort of a snapshot or a very knee-jerk quick reaction to a money line that you just feel is out of whack. There's no point, there's no reason for them to be plus 180 is essentially what you're saying. No reason
pretty
whatsoever.
Much. Yeah. I mean, 180 versus the Vikings backups, like I'll take that number.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what it's akin to. I'm trying to think what else we look at and we're like, okay, that price shouldn't be that, you know?
I also use the Steelers and some Wongs, by the way. Now they're down to 2.5. You know, you could use Steelers plus 8.5. Like, come on, you're going to lose to the Jaguars by 9 points? I don't believe it.
I love that you're teasing. You're doing Wong teasers here in the preseason. Did you do any of those? We talked about how the the offshore three-team 10-point teasers were 560-0 when you played the overs. All the different combinations of overs last week, 560-0. Were you part of that? Did you play some of those?
Yeah, I played. I didn't play all of them. I didn't do it. You know, I didn't max them out for as much money as I could or anything, but I played some. I played a couple more this week, you know.
Did you?
I don't think they're as sharp as the Wong teasers necessarily, but it's a way to get more volume down in the preseason. And, you know, some cases, like last night, for example, having, 38.5 was the over. So it's like 28.5 or 29 was the total on the three team teaser. But you had to sweat the total at the end of the game there. I was already done watching TV in the fourth quarter.
So about your play. So Trevor Lawrence expected to play into the second quarter in that Jaguars game. Trey Lance unlikely to play.
Yeah, I know Trey Lawrence. Trey Lance isn't going to play. Right. I saw, by the way, did you see he has more money bet on him for MVP at Caesars than like everybody else combined or something?
Yeah. Again, Lewis Riddick, I mentioned this earlier in the week. Lewis Riddick was on TV gushing, and I mean gushing, about Trey Lance. And he got on there, he's like, he's my long shot MVP play. Now, I don't know what the number was at the time. I don't even know if Lewis Riddick knows what the number was at the time. But it was interesting to hear, because you get the path, right? You get it. Let's say Trey Lance is way better than most people think, and he is just this unbelievably versatile quarterback for a team that goes to the postseason. Hey, I get it. Like, that's the way to go, right? But he's 40-1 now. It's not nearly as sexy as it was when it was doubled up shortly, you know, a very short time ago. So does it surprise me that he's like the most bet? I don't know that I'm completely surprised, because he's a starting quarterback in the National Football League with no competition, who, if all went well, would be on the short list of contenders. Now, it's with the, you know, the phrase, if all went well, is the big leap there. But some people can see it. I'm not like completely shocked that bettors at a high price went after that. Do you have some of it?
Yeah, I got some of it. I mean, yeah. he fits the profile, the type of guy I'd bet in this situation to begin with. But he's down to like 14-1 at Circa.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, that's way too low. But I mean, I know a lot of these numbers are just adjusted because they take money, but crazy. 14-1. Not buying it.
I found the Lewis Riddick thing amazing. Does Lewis Riddick have a history of like sort of like bold predictions like this? No, we don't know.
Not to my knowledge.
Not to my knowledge either. Anyway, that was pretty interesting that he was that, forceful about it. So three NFL picks. So again, the Rams, the Niners, and then you're doing a teaser. Rams and who again?
Rams and Pittsburgh, and Rams, Pittsburgh's Saints. Okay. All plus 8.5.
All right. Did you make any Major League Baseball plays today?
Yeah, I still made a couple. I mean,
what are we
not
doing?
Like I'm not going to bet any baseball. I bet the Pirates plus 103. Let's see, after that, don't think I have much exciting. I bet Blue Jays again. Blue Jays minus 104. I just think gotta bet against the Yankees every day right now while they're in this slump. I'm sure they will break out of it sooner than later, but are they going to finish the month of August 500? I don't think so.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. First of all, with the Pirates and the Reds, do you watch that baseball game when you're betting on it? Or do you just...
No, absolutely not. Okay, I will not watch another Pirates or Reds game all season, most likely.
For God's sakes, I was wondering. As we used to say on this show, you are not required to watch this Major League Baseball game, even with a bet on it. About the Yankees. Okay, so it's a 9-game lead. I was just talking to Josh Towers about this. Would you take a flyer on the Blue Jays or the Rays? Blue Jays right around 22-1, we were saying. The Rays are 50-1. Would you?
To win the division.
To win the division.
I'd rather take a field bet if it was possible instead of telling you I think the Blue Jays win or the Rays win, because I could see myself picking the wrong team.
I don't think there is a field bet out there, is there anyone?
No, I'm saying I don't think that exists. But if I had to pick a team, probably Blue Jays. Probably would, just because they're playing them right now. But I don't have a strong feeling over what team is gonna potentially knock the Yankees out of first place. I'd love to see it, though. I would absolutely love to see it. Even just get to like a 3-game gap. you know, even get that close, I'd love to see.
Would that be enough to knock Aaron Judge? Like, that would be, so let's go back to the MVP. If that happened, let's say the Yankees didn't make the postseason. Let's just go nuts here. Still a quarter of the season left. Let's say they didn't make the postseason. This is a huge, like, ridiculous scenario. But if they didn't, or is anybody going to mention that they didn't make the postseason in an MVP?
Of course. But
they should, right?
You got to think, you know, thinking about more realistic situations. We were talking about the Yankees winning 110 games.
Right.
And we were talking about them winning 105 games.
Let's look at
now we're talking about them winning 100 games.
How about this? Now, how many games do the Angels win if they don't have Shohei?
The 45, 50, 55. I mean, they're a Triple-A team this year without Ohtani and without Trout.
Brutality.
Remember, the Yankees are basically as good as the Atlanta Braves right now.
That's right. If you look at the standings, that's what they are. They're the Atlanta Braves, which is not
bad.
Why
are we making a big deal about Aaron Judge being so good? I don't know. He's been slumping a bit lately, too. I know he usually comes back and rips my heart out right when I start talking like this.
He does. He immediately hits a homer. It's so true. As soon as look at Judge, he's like, bang, out of the ballpark. So
I'm gonna try not to go too far over my skis too early, but come on, the Yankees! Like, have you watched them play over the last month? I wouldn't even favor them over the Astros in a series at this point.
And will people stop saying if he gets to 62, he has the home run record? It is not the home run record. It's the Yankees or the American League home run record, but it's not the home run record. We all know who that belongs to—the greatest ball player who's ever
lived. It's the pinstripe premium, Gil.
Yep. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later. Good luck this weekend.
You too. Beating a dead horse. It's a little segment we do here on the show, right here on The Numbers Game. Coming back, some more NFL props next with Jeff right here at VSiN.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN College Football Guide is out now, and our NFL Guide drops next week. Our experts provide profiles of every team with team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special and get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here, everybody. Producer number 5 and 8 as well. Who hosts Bet Center on the weekends these days? Is that what we're doing?
I'm all over the place, Gil.
All over. You can't even pin him down.
Even know what I'm on this weekend.
And again,
I'm working on Sunday. That's all I know.
And again, you host it with a different name. Jeff Parles.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
I know. It's a shame. Huh.
When you get married, is she going to take the name Parlay or Parles? What's she doing?
It's a good question. Maybe she'll just stay with what she has right now. We'll see.
Maybe it's too big of a choice. Maybe she'll just, just ride with what she's got. All right. We started with the NFC South division win totals, and we just got fixated on the whole Tom Brady thing, and we couldn't even get past it. But again, we'll just say it one more time. We don't want to assume anything, because you know what they say about assuming. But I brought this up with Drew Dinsick on Tuesday, which is this the reason that it really triggers me? I don't know if trigger is the right word, but the reason it's the old Malcolm Gladwell book, Blink, which is the whole premise of that book, or the whole conceit of that book, is being able to sort of see something or make a decision in a moment. And sort of coalescing all your experiences before that into one snapshot, into one blink. I did a poor job explaining that. But essentially, this Buccaneers thing, while it's apples and oranges to some degree, this reminds me, I've said this a few times, this reminds me of the summer, was it 2017 or 2018? Can't remember. You'll tell me. Where Andrew Luck just didn't show up. And I remember we just kept, the further we got, I just kept saying, are we sure he's playing? And he didn't. He retired. Now, I'm not saying Tom Brady's retiring. But are we sure he's playing the full season? Like, are we sure about this? Remember Todd Bowles, as you pointed out, Jeff, last segment, sort of backtracking a little bit. I don't know. He'll be back after the Titans preseason game. I don't know. Maybe he shows up next week. Maybe this is all water under the bridge. And then maybe it's not. What if he doesn't show up next week? Then what happens? Then we're all going nuts about it. What do you do with the best bet in this division? What do you like here?
Don't you just take Tampa under 4.5 right now and just have it in your pocket?
Don't you have Tampa under everything?
Yeah, I think you have to at this point. And then a Brady, if Brady is Brady and he beats you, so be it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And again, yes, I know this is a horrible division behind Tampa, assuming Brady is there. New Orleans.
Do you buy into the New Orleans hype? Like, some people really like them.
New Orleans' defense is going to be really good. My concern has been that losing Sean Payton is going to eliminate any sort of creativity that offense has had, and it's going to be hard for them to move the ball, even with Michael Thomas back, even with Jameis Winston being a quarterback that I think is much better than – he's closer to what we saw last year as opposed to what we saw in Tampa, where he's an interception machine. But also, too, we don't know if Alvin Kamara is going to be there at all this year with what's
huge.
Going on here in Vegas.
The Sean Payton thing. I sort of laugh at, though, because it's like he was the guy that I was like, his infatuation with Taysom Hill was just ridiculous.
Yes, that was absurd.
It's just absolutely absurd. And by the way, congratulations, Saints, for outbidding yourselves on that Taysom Hill contract. Well done. 3.5 over is the dog at +135. Panthers, 2.5 over +110. That's interesting to me. You don't think Baker Mayfield and crew can go .500 in that division? And then there's the Falcons, who are set at the very modest 2. And as you pointed out, the over is juiced a little bit. Oh, boy.
I think that's one of those where if you're going to bet that, first off, very enjoyable to watch all Atlanta games this year, Gil. It'll be a great time.
Okay, but this is worth bringing up. Like, so we have a full off season to talk about the NFL, right? And we all do, and we all have our opinions. But it's like when I asked Las Vegas Chris, okay, at what point into the season do you just completely slough off all your priors, right? Like all your previous notions of what you thought about these teams. And he said it differs for every team, but roughly by week, what was his answer? By week 3, 4, I believe it was, you're kind of just going with what you've seen. And so my question is about the Falcons. Do we, as much as we think they're going to, how can I put this technically, suck, do we really know that they will be that bad? Like, if they were 5-12, would that surprise a bunch of people? It's like we're so convinced they're so bad. Maybe they're just kind of bad.
Well, there's always one team, Gil. There's always one team every year that has just this awful point differential.
Yeah.
Every time you watch them, you're like, how is this an NFL team?
Mm-hmm.
And they win 5-6 games. It happens every single year. Could Atlanta be that team? They kind of were last year with a horrible point differential and won 7. So, yeah, would it stun me if they went 5-12? No.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're still going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
It's like with the Bears, too. Like, I hear everybody just say how bad the Bears are going to be. And maybe they will be. But maybe they'll just kind of stink, is I guess what I'm getting at.
Look, all of these bad teams this year, Houston. I'll throw the Jets in there because of their brutal opening schedule. Still throw Jacksonville in there until they prove otherwise. Atlanta, for me, Washington,
yes.
Seattle.
Yes, for me, Washington, too. I'm so worried about that, you have no idea. Like, Carson Wentz could be that bad.
Yeah, Chicago, even Detroit, even though they're getting love this offseason in betting markets. All those teams that I just mentioned, could at least a few of them end up with 6-7 wins? Of course.
We sort of have alluded to this also, I think, with Las Vegas Chris also, which is when you go from 4 preseason games to 3, his buddy Ron was in here as well talking about this. When you go from 4 preseason games to 3 preseason games, we are likely to see a more sloppy start to the regular season. And when you see a more sloppy start to a regular season, and by the way, I really do believe that going from 4 to 3 does that in the preseason because you just have some guys who barely play at all who are going to be starters, even at quarterback. Then if everything is sloppy, it is more likely that teams that are truly bad, let's say the Falcons and the Bears are truly bad football teams, but the playing field is that much more even in games 1, 2, and 3, and strange things can happen. I think that's the NFL we're dealing with. So I just don't know. You have a couple more divisions here? Let's go to the west of both the, what do we have, NFC first or AFC?
Well, we have the NFC West popping up here. Again, the Rams, the high total here at 4, juiced under -150. The 49ers, 3.5, juiced under -130. The Cardinals, 3, juiced under -140, and then Seattle.
I'm laughing at the Cardinals.
2, flat juice both sides.
I'm laughing at the Cardinals because the Cardinals are so 3. They are just so 3. It's just like it's exactly what they should be. I get it, the under's juiced a little, but that's exactly what their number should be. Trey Lance, do you know what you're getting with Trey Lance? Some people think great. Some people think he stinks. Who knows? Here's my thing with the Rams. And the under, I think, is appropriately juiced at -150. Will the Rams be that team? Remember when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl? Deep into the season, by deep, I mean past the halfway mark, they were just like a game over 500. And then they got all their players back and they figured out, okay, we can really play here in the stretch run. It is very human, right, for the Rams coming off a Super Bowl to not be full throttle every single game. They might state that they're full throttle. They might try to act like they are. But do you think this could be a team that realizes, hey, we can win another Super Bowl, but there's really no need to go nutso every single game?
Knowing the personalities involved, it's possible. I wouldn't be shocked on
just,
that.
Just now, from a human reaction, right?
Of course. Complacency. Well, the other thing, the only thing that you could say would get in the way of that, especially with what's going on in Tampa right now, the race for the one seed in the NFC seems to be pretty wide open. So what happens if they're in the mix for the one seed?
Well, then
maybe early in the year you get what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
But like once you get to week 11, and let's say the Rams are 8-2, 7-3, and right in the mix.
You want that number one seed for sure.
That changes the calculus.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, too. I mean, I was referring to earlier in the season, much like in the Buccaneers example. But yes, if the number one seed is in your sight, remember, this will be year 2 of only the number one seed getting a bye. It's a huge deal. Seahawks, by the way, at 2 also. Throw them into the mix of the teams that are supposed to be horrific. If you gave Pete Carroll truth serum right now, and you're like, really, you're happy with Drew Lock or Geno Smith? What does he say? Truth serum.
No way.
Come on. Yeah, right?
No way. I mean, Geno couldn't move the ball against the second team Bears defense last night. Come on.
Yeah, the bottom line is I don't know if I would bet these, though. Like, I really, like, this is fun to talk about. There's so many bets available to you. I don't know that I would bet any.
There are some that are very close to being a bet. Here.
I think if we went back to
if we could take it,
if we went back to our NFC North thing, I would be more likely to bet the Packers under or the Lions over than I would, I think, any of the ones we subsequently looked
at. I agree with you. I think those are the two best ones we got today.
Okay. Vinny is next. The Hall of Famer, Maolio on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, slow jamming with the Hall of Famer, Vinny Maolio.
I detected a little Cosell there, Gil.
With the Hall, as you know, it's Joe Buck every time he introduces Troy Aikman. He says, with the Hall of Famer, Troy Aikman. So that's what I'm trying to tribute.
Well,
but Vinny, I was just—you just sort of laid something on us here.
Well, we talked about it last week a little bit.
Well, yeah, we did, but we didn't really understand. So, is this your last slow jamming with Vinny on the show?
For a bit, yeah. I've got a new non-VSiN schedule. Well, I mean, I'll still be on with VSiN, of course,
different.
But which we'll get into next week in terms of the VSiN shifting. I've got some, other, Gone Gaming.
Because you can take Vinny away from the microphone, but you can't take the microphone away from Vinny.
Oh, that's right. I'll be walking around with the wireless.
That's right.
So you may say, I may be behind the counter. Gil, can you hear me?
Jeez. Well, that's a good thing, right, for you?
Oh, yeah. No, it's just, what we, obviously, the South Point is also our hub for the Gone Gaming non-Nevada locations. We've got some locations in New Mexico and in Oregon. And so with football coming, there's some shifting of some schedules. So that'll involve me. Yeah. Listen, I'm one of those people that I don't ask the staff to do anything I'm not prepared to do, including shift changes sometimes. So.
Okay.
So
well, listen.
But it's not like I'm not, you know, I'm not leaving the planet.
Feels like it, Vin. The Hall of Famer, Vinny Maliulu. We do have, before you go, though, you go out with a bang because the South Point, as you guys do every year, did your college football prop bet. Buckets of teams.
Remember, Gil, a few, early Visa, maybe the second year of Visa, and we started to put up the top four, in college football, but the top four college football teams in terms of not just, you know, projected success, but also power rating wise against the entire field of college football. And we started to do that for college basketball as well. Well, a couple of years ago, I was sitting with Chrissy, and Chrissy Andrews, our director here at South Point, and we were going over, hey, how do we tweak this a bit, you know? And so instead of, you know, just four teams, how can we kind of spread those teams out and incorporate some other teams? And is there somebody in the case of college football that could crack that, you know, that dominance of the Power Five participants in the playoff? Of course, Cincinnati last year, right, which was we did so. So, and Notre Dame a few years back. So we started to say, you know what, let's put groups together. So what we did was we took the top four power-rated teams this year, and then we split them up. We did put two of them together and then put a field together. So this year's groups are as follows. Alabama, Notre Dame, Utah, and Texas as the favorites.
Group A.
Group A, we'll call it.
Say that again. Alabama,
Notre Dame, Utah, and Texas.
What did that open at?
150, 3-2.
Okay.
Ohio State, Clemson. So you've got two of the top.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah. Ohio State, Clemson, Oregon, and Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher's fourth year parlay, right? This is all, he's all in, right? This is all, these are all his recruits. He's, of course, laid the foundation for an absolute heartwarming get-together with
Nick Saban this summer.
Nick Saban.
Oh, it was beautiful.
So that group at 2-1. Georgia, USC, a lot of buzz around USC. Oklahoma and Michigan, plus 250. So 5-2. And then the field, everyone else, 18-1. And these are the openers. There hasn't been too much movement, any movement just yet, and the price is spreading out the wagering. Field includes your Miami's, LSU's, Utah, which has Utah's in group one. But, you know, believe it or not, the team that's gotten a lot of tickets and a lot of money and the most movement in the future book, because there's still the individual future book for college football, is Miami.
Really?
A lot of buzz around Miami. They opened, and I guess maybe it was planned a price initially, Gil, 100-1 to start with, down to 40. So
my initial reaction to that is the Ohio State Clemson.
Because you've got the two.
Because you got the two.
Right.
Ohio State being Ohio State, the short shot to win it all now.
Yeah.
Clemson
yeah.
being in the ACC, so they have a path, easier path.
Probably
the
best defense, too. Now, it looks like their defense could be back on track, too.
Yeah. So, again, the biggest, and I'm not trying to, forgive me, Vinny, I don't want you to wash the hate over me here on this. But so a lot of this has to come down to, can you make a better bet besides this prop, right? So if in that first group, would you just be better off betting Alabama if you don't think the other three have a shot?
Well, or do you think the other – can one of the other three get to the playoff?
Yeah, yeah, for
right?
sure.
I mean, can Utah – or you break it down. So at Alabama, plus 75 individually, $1.75 is a better price.
Yes.
This price has to be lower because it incorporates Alabama with three other teams.
You leave these generally up all season.
They'll be adjusted weekly. Yeah, I mean
adjusted weekly.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah,
you know, after week one, please not week. I can't even say
week zero.
Stop. What is it? A soft drink?
I did that for you.
Come on.
That's the stupidest thing. You know, the only thing dumber than that was when, remember the two, was it 1 year or 2 years where the NCAA tournament?
The tournament.
They insisted on calling the play-in games round one.
Round one. Stop. Please.
I mean, then everybody was like, well, round one. No, that's round two.
I mean, there's not people out there running around. Thank God, you know, week zero's here, right? With t-shirts and everything. Like, I mean,
of course, I get tripped up by higher seeds and lower seeds. Like, I can never get that right either.
But anyway, you're going to break this down, Gil, and to your point, yeah. Do you believe, if you don't believe another team in one of these groups can get to the playoff, then bet your favorite team individually.
Right.
But what makes it a little bit more intriguing, too, is that second group with two of the higher-rated teams. And again, these are not rankings, right? Because with all due respect to rankings, polls don't determine prices.
By the way, that Big Ten thing came up in my head, too, as one of the stupider things ever. What was it? Legends and what was the other? Leaders?
Legends and Leaders.
Legends and Leaders. Oh, that really took.
I missed that.
So that last group has USC in it, which I guess you were sort of, as you were going through it, you're like, oh, USC. But I guess it depends on your, you know, all this.
What's your perspective? No, what I mean, I said there's a lot of buzz about USC. Now, when I say buzz, the betting public, they love USC. If you remember, Gil, a couple of months back when South Point, when we put up the games of the year, mm-hmm. Chrissy and I had... We were trying to anticipate what the activity on USC would be. Would it be a lot of support, or would it be the complete opposite? And, you know, maybe a fade. It's just, you know, an anti, so to speak. Because, and we wanted to know that because those games were played initially primarily by professional bettors, and we always want to know what those bettors think about these. And we looked at SC, and of course there's the buzz about Lincoln Riley going, the transfers they got at the skill positions offensively, but they still, you know, Christy and I looked at, you know, what we realized was it's not that they addressed their offensive line,
right,
and they didn't address their defense to the extent of those skill position players that they got offensively. So, but the, lo and behold, there was And this really entered into the equation as to why SC was put in these groups and not left in the field. There was a lot of support for SC. Yeah.
My take on SC is not a unique one, I don't think. Which mm-hmm. is if we're having this discussion about USC next year or the year after or the year after. Like I think, you know, with NIL and transfer portal sort of being in its infancy still. Okay, they're not quite going to reap the benefits of that like in a snap of the fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the USC's and the Miami's of the world are going to be the schools that are the most, I think, are going to benefit the most from all of this. Because mm-hmm. these kids are going to be like, oh my God, I totally want to transfer over there now. I think that we're a little premature on that. Mm-hmm. So I think if we're doing this 2-3 years down the road, this is a different discussion.
Yeah, it's a great point you bring up, Gil, not only about the name, image, and likeness aspect, but also the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, when we put up the games of the year, we were fully aware. There were still players moving in the portal, some good players, you know. So, but name, image, and likeness aspect is going to be something that we need to really keep an eye on. I mean, I know we're up against a break here. We can probably further this a little bit.
In other words, the upshot of that for me is I'm not going crazy over USC right now. I wouldn't go, hey, give me Group C. I wouldn't do that. Vinny Maliulo, ladies and gentlemen, more on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. Vinny Maiolio is here. So is Parlay. We get tweets. This is the deal here, Vinny. We have a couple right in a row. Ed Blust. Say it ain't so, Gil. Slow jamming with Hall of Famer Vinny Maliulu, my favorite part of my Friday morning. What? Johnny Ringo. Say it ain't so, Vinny, the best part of the week.
Very nice. Great guys. Good follows. And, just a tweak of the schedule, Gil.
Had we known this, I would have said to Jeff, I would have been like, Jeff, can you put together a one shining moment musical montage of all the moments I annoyed Vinny during Fridays?
I would never.
That would have been awesome.
I would never consider it to be annoyed. Maybe you can do the best
job. Just
of.
Laying into Vinny over and over.
Taking out all of your sports betting frustration. Yes. Just,
what about tennis, Vinny?
Yeah.
The other thing that we're getting overrun with, and Parlay said this right as we came out of the break, and then I looked at tweets, and Jason Weingarten is texting me this as well. So the biggest single rumor going around right now is everywhere.
No. You use the R word. You're talking about the great Fleetwood Mac album, right?
Yeah, not exactly.
Probably not.
Talking about rumors.
Go ahead.
This is so the big theory going around, and Trevor Warwick tweeted me this, everybody did. He says, my guess is Brady's on the Masked Singer. That's why it's been so hush-hush, only explanation. So apparently there's a Reddit rabbit hole right now.
What?
Where this is the theory.
Wait, so let me get this straight.
Do you know what Reddit is?
Hell no. Hey, now, let's start there. All right, what's the number? They have numbers.
Hold on. Let's go down a rabbit hole.
It's a social media
platform. This is from someone named Lindsay O.K., who apparently is a national NFL analyst. I don't know. She has a blue check mark, so there you go. She says she just went down the Reddit rabbit hole about the theory that Tom Brady's absence from training camp is because he's on the masked singer. And here are the main selling points. She actually fleshes this out. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
The filming dates line up with his absence. He perhaps committed to being on it when he was retired and then unretired but had signed a contract. And then third, signed a deal with Fox to broadcast after retirement. And the Masked Singer's on Fox.
So let me get this.
I'm going to say no to all of that.
I'm going to say no. That is a no. A big no.
So let me get this straight.
How about no?
Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
I won't even bring, so Chris Andrews just isn't here for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's only football season now.
Yeah. Why isn't he here for a couple of weeks?
Where's Chris Andrews? I can't tell you, but, don't miss out on the Masked Singers.
Can you imagine Chrissy showing up on the Masked Singer?
Third episode of the season. What the?
I'm going to say no on that one. But I still stand by, as does Jeff, about what we were talking about all week long, which is we actually don't buy that Tom Brady's going to be around for week one. Like, I actually think, I've seen this before. And it feels that way. Like the Andrew Luck retirement where he just didn't show up and people were like, hey, where's Andrew Luck?
But he was hurt.
Right.
Right.
Now, right. But this is, I guess I'm saying I'm just being triggered by it's gone. It's too late for something not to be happening. It's not the Masked Singer, though. I'm going to reject that.
I think what's the most curious aspect to me, Gil, and again, I'm not. Either way, still have to hold up from our side of the counter on regular season wins, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. Just to be sure. You have week one up and because they say he's going to be there. But when the coach says, I have a high level of confidence that he'll be here for week one.
Go the other way.
That's the head coach, Todd Bowles. I mean, really? Mm. Not. I don't look.
All right, what's your preseason action looking like right now?
Preseason good. Last night, even though it was only one game and it did not exceed the overall baseball handle, but it did do more than just about every other baseball game. I mean, Braves Mets game was a big game. Yanks always get their action and everything, but it's been strong, Gil, and I'll say it. We're on pace, just like last year, when the league went from four preseason games to three. That 3 weeks, the handle is pretty close to, you know, or equal to what the 4 weeks would do.
Is that true? Did it end up being the same?
Yeah, just about on par, because people adjust and people know. And, you know, now from our side of the counter,
there's only three games. I got to bet much more now.
Would you trade? Well, the way they spread it out too, though, right? I mean, you got it, you know, more nights. It's not just one day or 2 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. We had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, which is beautiful for business. But if, you know, it's an easy choice, I think, for bettors as well. Although professional bettors would probably like to keep the preseason because, you know, they find some value there. But from a bookmaking perspective, listen, I'm going to trade a week of preseason for a week of another week of the regular season. It's not even close.
I said this last hour. I've said it before. Last segment. I've said it before. Or I don't know when I said it today. But that I feel like the shortened preseason, just by one game, right? Just from four to three. The upshot of this is that it makes the beginning, the first few weeks of the NFL regular season, that much more volatile in a league that is already volatile to bet, right? Pre-flop ATS.
Great point, Gil. It's because you will have, there are teams in September. I'm not saying that it's going to be, an extension of the preseason, but there are teams that are still trying to figure things out.
Yes.
Particularly from a timing standpoint, where you've got, there are quarterback competitions, but there'll be a starter named. But there's so many things. There are changes throughout the team. Look at the Chiefs. You say the Chiefs, well, they're the favorite for the division. But you know what? There's no Tyreek Hill there.
Yeah.
That's a big adjustment.
And their schedule's brutal.
And their schedule, by the way, that's the top power. You know, again, we rate teams, power rate teams, but you also rate divisions. And from top to bottom right now going into the season, that's going to be the division that is probably the strongest from top to bottom.
I also think that really affects, you know, contests around town, handicapping contests.
Oh, sure.
Whether it's at Circa, whether it's Super Contest. And I also think it affects, obviously, Survivor that much more, which is to say that in contests and in handicapping contests, if you can get through those first two or three weeks with a favorable record, every year that's a great thing. But now I think more than ever, you're ahead of the fray.
Yeah, because it was very predictable, right, Gil? With four games, that week three was always the dress rehearsal game.
Right.
Right.
Everybody, that's right. Week three was the dress rehearsal game, and week four, everybody was a substitute.
Now
you don't know what you're getting.
You really don't know. And that's the importance of, you know, coaching sound bites and coaching those 10, 15 minute, 20 minute, the Bills. So we know that, you know, the Bills are the biggest jump this week. I mean, I've moved 3 or 4 points because we know that Allen is going to play tonight, right? He's going to start. And now.
That's right.
He's probably going to play more than one series as well. So
I've mentioned this a few times this week, too. This was the week, and we're not a trend show, this was the week where Dr. Bob would come on and be like, here is my week two preseason annual trend. And it was, again, it was the team that lost first week preseason playing a team that won. And it was this amazing betting trend that worked out. Well, he even had a sub-trend of it that he wouldn't share that worked out even better. But now, none of that exists.
You just, you know,
every team plays it differently.
It's week to week. And you still have the teams that take the preseason, you know, a lot. I don't want to say, you know, I get more serious. I mean, or will play regulars. And then you've got the teams that don't. I mean, like the Rams. I mean, you know, so there's a lot of to garner from it. But you'll see, I think, more surprises in September than you know we did a few years back, because there's still a lot to sort out for teams.
Well, Vinny, I don't know how to say this, man. I'm a little verklempt on this, but this is the last slow jam it with Vinny Maiolia.
No, I wouldn't say the last.
Oh, well, the last for a while.
Yeah, but just don't get rid of the piano, please.
Oh, the smooth jazz. Keep the piano. Open. All right. Well, I'm comforted by the fact that I know you'll be walking around the casino with a handheld mic at all times.
I'll be mic'd like the players and the coaches on the sideline.
That's right. Thank you, Vinny, for all, and thank you for being a good sport all these weeks and months and years.
My friend, keep up the good work, you and Parlay, you and the crew.
Vinny Maiolio, everybody. It's really pronounced Maliulo, right here from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome, buddy.
Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.